This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The story of St. Catherine of Siena.
St. Catherine of Siena lived in the 14th century, one of the 25 children of Giacomo Benincasa, a man who made a living as a dyer of cloth. Her mother, Lapa, was a good woman, but one who desired that each of her children should have plenty of this world's goods. For the boys, this was to be accomplished through a successful career in business. For the girls, through a wealthy marriage. One day...
By the Blessed Virgin, by all the saints, what have you done?
Cut off my hair, Mother. That's all.
Your beautiful golden curl is gone. What man will look at you now?
No man, Mother.
How dare you say such a thing?
Mother, dear, I only want to serve God. I thought you might understand when I cut off my hair.
I understand, dear. You're not going to any convent.
No, Mother. I don't want to be a nun.
You don't. You don't want a husband, either. Heaven's name, then. What do you think you're going to do with your life?
I want to be a Dominican tertiary, Mother.
Nonsense.
Mother, dear, being a tertiary means being able to live in the world, yet not of it. To go about doing good, yet having a share in the religious life, too. You see, monks and nuns must stay in their convents.
Don't tell me what being the tertiary is. I've seen those women. Not clever enough to find themselves husbands. Not holy enough for the cloister. Misfits, all of them.
Mother, God is calling me to be a tertiary. I know it.
Look here, my child. How old do you think you are?
I'm 12, Mother.
12. And you think you know what's good for you better than I do?
Oh, no, but I still...
Quiet. From now on, my stubborn little one will have no more talk about tertiaries, Dominican or otherwise.
Yes, Mother.
You wear a veil over your head till your hair grows out. In the meantime, we'll see if a little hard work won't cure you of those foolish notions. We've had a servant up until now, but henceforth you can take her place. Get down to the kitchen at once.
Yes, Mother.
Dominican tertiary, indeed.
For the next 4 years, Catherine's time was spent in washing, cooking, and mending for her many brothers and sisters. When she was 16, she was stricken with smallpox.
Catherine.
Convinced that Catherine was dying, her mother was overcome with remorse.
Child, isn't there something I can do for you?
No, Mother.
You can't die. I won't let you.
Mother.
Yes, dear. What is it?
There is something I would like.
What, Catherine? I'll do anything you ask. Anything. Just tell me.
You'll be angry with me again.
Angry? Oh, no. What is it, child?
I would like to be a Dominican tertiary.
Oh, God.
If you refuse me, I shall die.
Ask me anything, Catherine. Anything.
There There is nothing else.
Catherine! Catherine! Open your eyes.
Pray for me, Mother.
No, no. Catherine, my darling, I didn't mean what I said. You may be a tertiary if you wish.
Oh, Mother.
I'll go to the women in charge. I'll bring them here. Only don't leave me, little one. Don't leave me.
You say your daughter wishes the holy habit of St. Dominic?
Yes, yes.
And how old is your daughter?
16.
But, my good woman, we do not receive girls of 16 as tertiaries.
What do you mean? My Catherine's a good child. She's dying of a broken heart.
That may be. But you see, our vocation is no ordinary one. It is really most difficult. We wear the religious habit, yet we do not have the safeguards of the cloister. We live in our own homes. Therefore, all our members must be of solid character, well tested.
The sisters are always older women, as ourselves.
Oh.
So you think my Catherine will leave you after a while and cause scandal?
I did not say that.
She's not good enough for you.
My dear, girls of 16 are apt to be flighty. It's only natural that a life of prayer and sacrifice, such as ours, should appeal to few of them. Therefore, we have made a rule.
But my Catherine isn't like other girls. Can't you at least come and look at the poor child?
I tell you, it is no use. We do not receive young girls.
In God's name, will you break my heart entirely?
Sister, perhaps we might go and see the child.
It is useless. But to soothe this poor woman's nerves...
Yes, yes, to please me. Come, sisters, we've no time to lose.
When the tertiaries saw Catherine, their hesitancy vanished, and they agreed to give her the habit if she recovered from her illness. This decision gave Catherine such joy that she was well within a few days. At the neighboring church of the Dominican Order, she received the white woolen habit of a tertiary, happy and delighted that her great desire was fulfilled at last. But very soon...
Catherine Benedict has become a hermit.
She shut herself up in her father's house.
She prays all
she
the time.
She talks to no one.
She eats next to nothing.
The saint, that one.
Nonsense, the girl's a fool.
The poor thing, what is a fool?
A fool, a fool.
During the 3 years that Catherine remained in solitude, praying and suffering for sinners, many wonderful visions were granted her. Yet there came a day when God decreed that Catherine should leave her little room and devote herself to more active work. At the public hospital in Siena...
Father, was there another street fight last night?
What else? Rioting, looting, murder. Ah, these days, peasant against noble, father against son, men in low places seeking the power of the great.
How my heart bleeds for Italy, Father, with every city at war with another.
Yes, yes, dear God. God, when will all this civil war end?
The Pope could make it end.
The Pope is far away in France.
Father, someone must go to him. Some wise man who can explain the troubles between the cities, between the people and the nobles.
A lost cause, my child. The Pope is a Frenchman. He has little knowledge of the Italian spirit. No. No, there'll be war as long as you and I live.
But surely something could be done.
Greater minds than yours have tried to do something, my child, and failed. Ah, but enough talk. To work now.
So the days passed, and Catherine's time was spent in ministering to the sick, in converting the fallen away to their religious duties. The figure of the young Dominican tertiary became familiar to many, and she made friends in all walks of life. She journeyed up and down the country in the role of a peacemaker between the warring cities. Always she counseled obedience to the Pope in faraway France. And one day, while in the city of Florence...
My friends, the Holy Father represents Christ on earth. We must love him. We must respect and obey him.
When he lives in a foreign country, be humble to a Frenchman.
Never! Never! Never!
One moment, fellow citizens. Never. One moment. Let me speak.
What is it?
Sister Catherine is right. We must respect the Holy Father. The cause of our present trouble with the Holy See is due to a misunderstanding. Nothing else.
All right, that is true.
In the name of the city of Florence, I suggest that Sister Catherine visit the Holy Father and explain the situation. Sister Catherine, you must go if Florence and the other Italian cities are to know peace.
Very well, my children. I will go to the Holy Father. I will tell him of conditions here as best I can. And may God be with me.
So Catherine set out for the French city of Avignon, where for more than 70 years the Pope had lived in exile. This exile, often termed the Babylonian captivity, had originated in political disturbances and had caused much hardship for both church and state. It had weakened Christendom immeasurably, and Catherine's heart was anxious as at last she stood before Pope Gregory the 11th.
And so you are Sister Catherine?
Yes, most holy father.
And you have come to plead the cause of the city of Florence?
Yes, most holy father.
Well, my child, I bid you welcome to France. Be seated now.
Thank you, most holy
father. You must be tired after your long trip.
Then you forgive the Florentines. You will remove the interdict from the city.
The Florentines are a proud and haughty lot. Yet I will gladly treat a peace with them at the proper time and place. But just now, I am interested in you. Tell me, my child, what is your age?
I am 29, most holy father.
29? From those letters you have been writing to me, begging peace for Florence, I would have thought you were a much older woman. Such wise letters, my daughter, and full of commands, as though I were but a boy.
Most holy father, I have spoken out clearly to you because of the times. We cannot dawdle any longer.
Oh, dawdle? What do you mean?
Most holy father, you must come to Rome. The people need you.
Rome? But my friends tell me Rome has a dreadful climate. My health is very poor, and here in France...
Most holy father, I have come to tell you three things.
As you know. And what would they be?
First, you must come back to your rightful place in Rome.
Yes?
Second, you must surround yourself with good counselors, men interested in the things of God, not in luxury and power.
You speak like a saint, my daughter. Wisely and well. What is the third thing I must do?
You must send a crusade against the Turks.
A crusade? My dear child, what for?
Most holy father, because Italy is full of warfare between the cities, we would have little resistance against them. But when you return to Rome, when you place yourself at our head as a strong leader...
Most holy father, I believe you have given our young visitor enough of your time for today.
Oh, my lord cardinal.
It is past 2 o'clock, most holy father, and you have yet to take your medicine.
To be sure, to be sure.
So, Sister Catherine, if you will excuse us, please.
You will come back some other time, my child, and we shall continue our talk.
But, holy father, I haven't told you that...
Sister Catherine, please. This must be all for the day.
Very well.
And might I suggest that you have been rather presumptuous in coming here? After all, is it fitting that a woman should advise the Holy Father? Nay, come on, what he should do.
Is it fitting, my Lord Cardinal, that a woman should obey God's will?
What did you say?
I have not come to Avignon to set myself up as a great person. I have come to explain the dreadful state of affairs in Italy, the civil war and bloodshed, and to do what I can to bring peace and unity to the church.
Such work is better left to men.
To men? What have they done but make blunders, but fail time after time?
You are coming, most holy father?
Yes, yes, at once. Goodbye, my daughter. I shall see you tomorrow at this time.
Yes, most holy father.
This little Sister Catherine is a... truly remarkable soul.
A busybody. A meddlesome woman who cannot keep quiet a single minute.
No, I think not, my Lord Cardinal. She, well, her words have affected me deeply.
You're not being led away by her? You're not thinking... Why, Surely you're not thinking of going to Rome.
It is obvious that you do not approve.
Approve? Most holy father, it's a wretched and harebrained scheme. You, a Frenchman, go to Rome? Why, you know how the Italians dislike the French. And then the climate, cold and damp. Besides, the papal legates are doing very well looking after your interests in Italy.
Sister Catherine doesn't agree. She says they are cruel, greedy. And it is because of them that the people are rising against them.
Ah, nonsense.
She says if I go to Rome, all these disturbances will end. There will be peace in the city. Goodwill toward the Holy See.
Sister Catherine has come here as an emissary from the Florentines. She'll trick you in any way she can.
My Lord Cardinal, I think you are jealous.
Jealous? I? Of this impostor?
Of this saint, my Lord Cardinal.
But I don't understand.
I am convinced that this young woman of 29 years, this Catherine Benincasa, this daughter of the Dominicans, is a true servant of God.
But
don't interrupt me. Her hands, for instance. Have you noticed them?
I have not.
They are beautiful hands. Strong and worn with work. Yet if one touches the palm, even very gently, what happens?
I haven't the least idea.
If one touches the palms as I have done, the girl suffers great pain. Ah, my Lord Cardinal, I discovered on the first of Sister Catherine's visits that she bears the wounds of Christ.
What?
The holy stigmata. Yes. Not everyone knows this, for Sister Catherine begged God that they would always remain invisible to others. To me, however, in holy obedience, she told the whole story.
I don't understand.
So listen well, my Lord Cardinal. Last year at Pisa, Sister Catherine was given this extraordinary grace. Therefore, she is no ordinary person, as you think.
But surely...
We must listen to her words, for in my opinion, they are directly inspired by the Holy Ghost.
It's hardly my place to argue with you, most holy father. But surely we mustn't be foolhardy. Why, discretion and prudence...
Have no fear. We shall be very discreet, my Lord Cardinal, and very prudent. But we shall try to be humble also. For it may well be that God has sent this young woman here to show us how to do his holy will.
So impressed was Pope Gregory XI with Catherine's holiness that he finally heeded her advice and returned to Rome. The people received him with great joy, for they had not beheld a pope in the Eternal City for over 70 years. But alas for Catherine's hope. In a short while, Pope Gregory's health failed, and upon his death, Urban VI was elected to fill his place. Soon an angry murmur was filling the streets of Rome.
Is he French or Italian, this Pope?
They say he comes from Naples.
Yes, but he's a Frenchman.
We want a Roman Pope.
Yes.
Enough of these foreigners.
Down with the foreigners!
Hey,
down with the foreigners!
With broken hearts, Catherine heard the distressing news that there was dissension once again in Christendom. Thousands of good Christians were convinced that Urban VI had not been lawfully elected pope. There had been a second election at Fondi, and now another man was being proclaimed as the vicar of Christ on earth. He was Clement VII. Once again, Italy was torn with civil war, with bloodshed. Families were divided on the burning question of the two popes. Even religious orders were split into two factions. But as Catherine prayed and wept from her seclusion in Siena, a loyal little group stood by.
No matter what others say, Sister Catherine has always done the right thing. I, Stephen Maccioni, will defend her with my life.
Aye, Neri di Landuccio, say the same.
And I, Alessio Saracini.
Of course, we know what this means.
It means we recognize Urban VI as the rightful pope, even though they kill us for it.
Alas, they're saying in the streets that Sister Catherine is responsible for this dreadful business of the two popes.
Yes, the fools. They believe that if she had not gone to France, there wouldn't be this trouble.
But what are we to do?
Do? Whatever Sister Catherine tells us, of course.
I have not seen her for hours. Where is she?
She's in her room praying.
She will come soon. In the meantime, we secretaries can wait.
That's right. Her three secretaries.
Yes. We three must have written hundreds of letters for Sister Catherine.
To kings, princes, cardinals, bishops,
and popes.
Yes. No wonder people call us Catherineites. We never leave our good friend.
My dear friend, truly sorry about that name.
Sister Catherine.
Sister Catherine, you're feeling better?
Not better, Stephen, but perhaps stronger. And would to God your good names were not coupled with mine. Catherineites, indeed. What an insult for you.
Sister Catherine, it is the greatest compliment I wish to have.
And I.
Thank you, my friend. My very dear friend. And now, Neri, have you a little time?
Another letter, Sister Catherine?
Many letters, Neri.
I'm ready.
Could I help, too?
And I?
I'll have work for you in a little while. But this letter Neri may write for me. And it must go off to Rome today, Neri.
Yes, Sister Catherine.
Very well. Write.
Yes, Sister Catherine.
To the true leader of the church, His Holiness Pope Urban VI, most sweet father, I have heard that demons in human form have elected another against you. Now, forward, most holy father. Go into this battle without fear. I and all those whom God gave me to cherish with special love and care for their salvation are ready to give our lives for the truth. We are ready to obey your holiness and to endure unto death. We shall help you with the weapon of holy prayer and by proclaiming the truth wherever pleases the sweet will of God.
Catherine dictated dozens of letters to kings and leaders in Europe, begging their adherence to the true pope, Urban VI. The great schism, however, with its dissension, finally caused her health to fail, and at Rome, where she had gone at the invitation of Pope Urban...
Why, Sister Catherine, you can hardly stand. Are you ill?
I am ill of a broken heart, most holy father.
Oh, come now, my child. Things are bad, I know, but...
Two popes, holy father, and people say it is my fault. Oh, what have I done?
You have done what God wished you to do, my child. Restored the papacy to Rome.
But there is still war, misunderstanding.
That is true, alas.
Most holy father, very soon I shall die.
Die? But you are only 33.
Most holy father, I have offered my life to God as a martyr for his holy church.
A martyr?
If it pleases him to accept my offering, these dark days will pass away. Peace will come to Italy, to all the world, and the people will recognize but one pope, one vicar of Christ on earth.
My child, I hardly know what to say.
Will you bless the offering of my life, Holy Father?
Sister Catherine, of all my children, there is none more loyal than you. May the blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Saint Catherine of Siena gave her life for the welfare of the church and of Pope. Today, she is venerated as the patron of Rome.